Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
12:34 in Edmonton. We will get to a couple more of your texts on Yes, the Pulley Army momentarily. We'll tell you that guests on the show receive certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Roost Chris is open for takeout and delivery through DoorDash. Maggie Taylor and Chef Altoff will take care of you at Roost Chris. They are open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Just before we go to our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling, we'll take this opportunity right now. Of course, yesterday we got the verdict on the Derek Chauvin trial, and he was convicted on three separate counts involving the murder of George Floyd. And Darnell was asked his thoughts about what transpired as a result of the verdict yesterday.
For myself, it's kind of been a question I'm trying to tackle myself and see how I can help. I mean, when you look around the world, I think just equal representation. I think, you know, you look in workplaces around the world. I feel like if you're the times of being a candidate and being qualified to be in the position or a role, no matter where it is within business, within sports, I think it's come to a point where, you know, skin color and the look of someone needs to become obsolete, and it needs to become, you know, to the point where, you know, we're all treated on an equal playing field. So that's, for me, I think that's one of the first steps, something that is much easier said than done. But like I said, yesterday was a step in the right direction. And, you know, it can't be a sense of contentment. It's now we just need to continue to push forward.
All right, that's Darnell Nurse. And again, speaking just in terms about people being treated with equality and dignity, and of course, I think that there's been a significant and concerted efforts in various different parts of the world to ensure that sort of thing happens. And, you know, I think people are really open to that. I think that's a given, and I don't think anybody thought what occurred in Minneapolis was for 1 second acceptable. And as somebody who does know a fair amount of police officers right now, the ones I know were disgusted by what had occurred and felt that the ultimate conviction in the jury's decision was the appropriate one. And then into the further conversation about equality and those sort of things, I think we're headed down that path and need to continue to make that sort of thing happen. So it's pretty interesting stuff there. Again, you can text us. Brendan, just let me know when we got John Shannon hooked up. He had to delay for a couple minutes here. Jane, you've got John right now, do you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have had a response. Robin Lehner has been. Robin Lehner is never one to shy away from putting his comments out there. And again, this is, well, in this day and age, it's become a story on another level. But Lehner is saying, you know, there's a little bit of exasperation and frustration with what's going on. Robin Lehner very upset at Jesse Granger, saying, "We are vaccinated and we are still trapped in a prison." That one coming. And the response for your James is, Robin Lehner is smoking something illegal. It takes 10 to 14 days after each vaccination for the body to develop the antibodies for COVID-19. So it's all about perspectives, I guess, in terms of, and we don't know how long ago they got vaccinated. It's two separate topics, and who better to talk about that sort of stuff than our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. John, how are you doing?
Good,
Bob. Just don't call us not your resident virologist, okay? I don't want to be known as the resident virologist.
There we go. Yeah. No, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Remember that commercial back in the 80s?
Sure. No, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
There you go.
That was John, commercial.
Yes, John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling with no overtime rates and their 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy heating and cooling. Darnell Nurse, we just ran a clip of him about speaking about equality and equity and that sort of thing. And hey, we're not perfect in Canada. I think we know that. We got lots to work on in our own country on a multitude of different fronts. I do think that you saw the appropriate response from the various major professional sports leagues on the Chauvin verdict yesterday. Do you not agree?
Yes, I think what we've learned in the last 24 months, Bob, is that the world that you and I grew up in, where there was a complete separation of sports and politics, has disappeared.
Right.
There's now an expectation that it's disappeared. How many times over the last, 60 years have we said, well, why don't the Olympics take a stand? And they have never taken a stand. The fact that major professional sports in our two countries, plus the teams in the countries, have become vocal supporters of diversity and human rights is a positive, I think. And it's human. In many ways, it humanizes the people that are in the game, and I think them in many ways makes them much more appealing.
Yeah, it's interesting because on Monday we spoke about the Super League that ended in a hurry, and the reoccurring theme on that was the how incredibly tone deaf several of the higher end money men were that collaborated to ensure that the English six and 12 the most powerful sports organizations in the world would be guaranteed to play in a Super League without earning their way in, which is against the ethos of how a lot of people see European soccer. And the response, John, was, I mean, the fan, and it, to me, it was real. And of course, you mentioned the fact that you can't do that in North American sports because you can't just go off and form your own separate league. But that was quite the response. You not agree from European soccer fans, specifically in England?
Well, what amazed me was, in addition to the players and the coaches of teams, it was the fans of the teams that were going to jump. And get out of Champions League and create their own Super League. It was the fans of Chelsea and Liverpool and Manchester United. That, to me, was the fascination of the moment, to say that here we are. We could create our own platform. But no, we like the way it is. We want to have our regular routine of playing our league games and then playing within Champions League. I thought that... that part was phenomenal, and I really do think the pushback, particularly of the six teams in the Premier League, were based on their own fans not liking it, and how important that was to the future of the game, not necessarily just in the UK or in Europe, but all over the world.
And you know what, John? We had a game the other night. The building would have been rocking. I mean, it was an awesome game. The teams were hammering the crap out of each other. You know, Montreal came out, bam! And then the Oilers turned around, and the Oilers started smoking them back. And, you know, Dreisaitl was, you know, doing the Mark Messi, protecting himself, and Josh Anderson went around him. And the only thing missing that night, there was one thing. We got robbed of an incredible in-game experience because we had no fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're a mammoth part of the game.
Well, listen, to me, in the last few nights in the National Hockey League, and I agree with you completely, particularly with that third period that the Oilers and Connor put on, but we've been robbed of three great events in the last little while. I think that Vancouver-Toronto game Sunday night was storybook stuff. It was human. It was compassionate, and it was a damn good hockey game. The Oiler game, and then what happened with Patrick Marleau at the same time as the Oilers were playing, and the fact that Marleau passed Gordie Howe for the most games played by a player in the National Hockey League. Those were nights that, in the old days, I hate to say, in the old days, 24 months ago, we would have reveled in for 3 or 4 days. But because nobody was there, because we didn't hear the ovations, because there wasn't that bond between players and fans, we missed something.
We're joined by John Shannon, our NHL insider. No question about it. All right, let's get to what occurred. Connor McDavid completely took that game over, didn't he?
He did, but he had help. And I think that that, to me, is the positive. Just like he had help in Winnipeg on Saturday night.
Yep.
You know, yes, he pulled Yarvi. I think those back-to-back maybe his two best games of the season with some continuity. Yamamoto may not have got on the scoreboard, but Yamamoto was fully engaged, something we haven't seen in, what, four or five weeks, Bob, maybe? As great as Connor was, and he was spectacular, he wasn't alone in doing it. I mean, Ethan Bear's contribution alone on the one goal speaks to this being a team sport, because we've seen Connor have great nights and the team fall short because he hasn't had much support. Well, he had a ton of support on Saturday, and he had a ton of support again, particularly in the third period on Monday. And in talking to a couple people in the organization, just commenting on the games, that was the ringing endorsement of it was a full team effort. There were no passengers on the boat this time. And that's got to be really, really satisfying for Dave Tippett and his coaching staff.
You know what's interesting is just yes, Puljujarvi. I mean, here these Winnipeg and Montreal. I mean, I asked the question to our listeners: has he exceeded expectations? And I mean, I think it's a given that he has. And I mean, he's still only 22, but he is 6'4". He is 210. He plays in straight lines. I mean, he absolutely, in football, the term would have been depleted Tomas Tatar on the turnover that led to the McDavid splitting. I mean, it was a great play by McDavid, but it was a huge hit. You know, he helps set up the first goal on the cycle, and then he finishes off the third one with an elite-level finish. Oilers fans should be pretty excited, shouldn't they, about where Puljujarvi's going? And, John, I didn't see this coming. I don't know about you.
Well, we knew he had the body. We had the body when he was here the last time. But in my opinion, and maybe this is a red herring, but I don't think it is. I don't think enough's been made of the surgery he had at the end of the season before he went home. You know, that last half of the season he played here, the first time around, he played in pain. The double hip surgery has made a difference. Going home to Finland, he's grown up a bit. This is not about the physical nature of the game for Puljujarvi. This is about the mental game for the day, for him. The other thing is that he's been made felt much more welcome in this dressing room now, and that's important. You know, that's where you remember that he is just 22. But he is just human. He's a big young guy. And you have to feel welcome. And I think the Oilers players have done a magnificent job right from training camp of making sure that Puljujarvi feels part of the team. And I think there were times the first time around he didn't feel part of the team. By the way, when you look at what Puljujarvi's done, let's just remind everybody that Patrick Laine has 10 goals. Patrick Laine was supposed to be better than Jesse Puljujarvi this year. Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is a very good player, only has 8. Well, when you look at the top 4 players taken in that draft, Austin Matthews obviously has got, what, 32,
yep.
33?
Yeah.
And then of the top 4, then Yes is next of those 4 guys. And, boy, what a difference that makes. And you can just see it on his face every time he has the puck on his stick.
Yeah, it's and again, John, I just want to see where he can get to by 24-25 because there's been some growth there as a player. Some people, John, have said, you know, Stauffer, you bring up the agents too much. I think Edmonton caught a break when Acme World Sport merged into Wasserman. Marcus Lehto ends up working with Jeff Jackson. Jeff Jackson's got Connor McDavid. I wonder whether or not that might have helped out a bit in terms of soothing the relationships a bit. Obviously, a mature general manager, Ken Holland. Does an inexperienced GM come in and trade Puljujarvi? And Holland just outweighed the situation.
Yeah, Yeah, but I think we have to be practical about it too, Bob. This was a second marriage by necessity. You know, with the cap issues that Kenny had as the season started. And, you know, there were people that wanted Puljujarvi. Make no mistake about it. There were teams trying to come in and rob the Oilers of Jesse Puljujarvi because they saw something in him. You know, as much as the agent side is really important, I think the fact that you had Ken Holland and he needed to see firsthand and it needed to be his judgment about what Puljujarvi was that brought Puljujarvi back on a team-friendly deal that made a ton of sense. You know, and so you're right. Agents changing, yes, makes sense. Kenny Holland being here makes more sense.
All right, quick text from Andrew Cito on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Out of one of your favorite communities, I think you disappeared there for a couple of years because you wanted to avoid the Vietnam War. From Nelson, British Columbia, Andrew Cito says, I don't think I would trade Line A at this time for Puljujarvi. I think Puljujarvi has more potential. You know, he goes, I think that Puljujarvi has potential to be a better all-around player, and he's got a great attitude. Line A is the type that seems to come across with a poor attitude, and I see Puljujarvi in time surpassing him as a player. What do you think? So, John, what say you on that?
I'm not trading Puljujarvi for anybody right now. You know, just because I think of not only of what he's done, but what the potential upside is. And listen, how many times have we wondered since 97 showed up, he's got to have somebody really good on the right side. He's got to have somebody on the right side. Where's that guy on the right side? I mean, this is a given now. Puljujarvi and McDavid, they might be more married together, in my opinion, than McDavid and Draisaitl. But I'm there. You know, the thing that I'm always amazed at with Puljujarvi is his size. He's a massive body. I mean, look what he did on Connor's goal in the third period.
Sure.
I think that was Nick Suzuki, right?
Tatar.
Thomas Tatar. Okay. I mean, look what he did. And I mean, it wasn't vicious. It was a good, simple, physical play. And wow, what a difference it made. To separate the player from the puck, that's what you're supposed to do all the time. And if this guy can manage to improve doing that and you know, learn... yes, he's got to learn to be a little meaner, in my opinion. You know, he's too nice a guy still, but that will come. Once he learns how to be really mean, I think that this guy has a huge, huge upside.
Patrick Laine scored 110 goals in his first 3 years in the NHL, but he went minus 24 his third year in Winnipeg, and we started to hear some rumblings. Since going to Columbus, he's got 10 goals, 17 points in 38 games. They're minus 23. By the way, I got to ask you this. He's not the only guy that's come new into Columbus. Is Tortorella done at the end of the year, do you think? And conversely, Max Domi, healthy scratch. Like, would they flip Max? What do you think's going on there, John?
That's an interesting one. First of all, John Tortorella's contract is up. I think John's going to have to decide whether he wants to coach again. I think that'll be part of the equation. I do think that Yarmo will want him to coach again. You know, the amazing thing is that any player, most players, now any is not fair, most players that come out of Columbus rave about this guy and love playing for this guy. Daniel and Henrik Sedin loved playing for him. We had Nick Foligno on the podcast with Bob McCowan earlier in the week. He could not say enough things about John Tortorella and said he would play for John Tortorella any day of the week for the rest of his life. He loves him so much. You get the real deal from Tortorella. The problem is that some people expect to be treated differently. John doesn't treat people differently. He has a code. He believes in the code, and you deal with it. What Max Domi's done, and John's coaching for next year, by the way, in my opinion, trying to instill things in players. Max Domi's had two games recently where he's made two stupid emotional mistakes. After the first one, he admitted it was an emotional mistake and said it would never happen again. 4 days later, it happened again. Yeah, and John Tortorella, in many ways, has no choice of how to manage it. And he's trying to make, believe it or not, he's trying to make Max Domi a better person and a better player. And the question will be is whether Max Domi understands that or not, and guys like Patrick Laine, whether they understand that or not.
John, great stuff. Thanks for joining us here at Oilers Now. We'll hook up next week.
Yes, sir. Say hello to Lawton for me.
Ah, absolutely. That is John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Cooling and Heating. We will tell you at this time, by the way, just a quick text here from Haas. We were talking about Patrick Laine. He says, Bob, Puljujärvi is already a better all-around player than Patrick Laine. Just saying that right here, right now. Well, Laine with a team worse, minus 23 in Columbus since going there. Minus 24 a couple of years ago with the Jets. Sometimes the advanced analytics guys don't like, you know, just straight plus minus. When you've got a couple of years in a row like that, it's like Yakupov when he was here. When he was in the minus 30s, it was telling part of the story. We'll take a quick timeout. It's 12:54 in Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, I'm James Neal from Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Chet.
Welcome back, everybody. Could see James Neal back in the lineup today. Joakim Nygaard missed the last two optional skates. Odd for a guy playing 8:37 per game and just getting back in the lineup himself. And you wonder, based upon the fact that Neal was the first of the taxi squad guys to be off the ice, whether or not he has a chance to end up playing. I guess it could go 7D, too. Let's go to the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. For every goal the Oilers score, James H. Brown donates $100 to 630 Chad's Santa's Anonymous. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, arguably probably the best football player University of Alberta produced over the course of the last 30 years. Ended up being a multi-time CFL All-Star at safety, won a Grey Cup with the Edmonton, then Edmonton Eskimos as well. Hopefully they are able to get their season off. It'll sound like they got some good news today and looking for a little bit later Grey Cup than normal. All right, so Ryan Nugent-Hopkins appears good to go. Obviously, Jujhar Khaira will not play. We'll wait to see what's up on Nygaard. Chance he isn't in as well. For the Canadians, Carey Price is on right now out in concussion protocol, and Brendan Gallagher out of lineup after breaking his thumb after getting hit with a shot. Canadians, by the way, 27-40-5 without him in the lineup. That's a 4-10 win percentage. Mr. Escott, what else you got around the league?
Well, I can tell you after that Canucks game last night, Leafs defenseman Zach Bogosian had to leave an upper body injury. He fell hard and awkward into the end boards, did not return. Antoine Roussel also left that game grabbing his knee. He did not return either. And south of the border, Mikko Rantanen and PK Subban both added to their respective teams' COVID-19 lists.
There you go. Again, that's our Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back from the cult of hockey, David Staples.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.